Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. There will be no farm bill until Congress returns in the new year. But it turns out, dairy prices won't surge on January 1st, as some farm bill supporters have suggested. Harvest Public Media's Grant Gerlach reports.
The rallying cry has been, if there's no farm bill by the end of the year, milk will balloon to $7 or $8 a gallon. That's what farm bill alarmists called the dairy cliff, when permanent law would force the government to buy dairy in bulk at inflated prices. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has been warning of the dairy cliff for months, but now he says that policy won't be revived overnight.
It would take some time, but it's not an indefinite amount of time, and it's not a long period of time to actually get it implemented.
So you're safe from the dairy cliff, at least through January, as long as lawmakers continue to make progress on the farm bill. But if they fail, Vilsack insists the dairy cliff is real.
I mean, at some point in time, when it becomes quite obvious that there is no agreement, then it is our responsibility under the law to institute those programs.
House and Senate negotiators want to pass a final farm bill, perhaps as soon as mid-January. I'm Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack will travel to China this week. It's a trade visit that happens every year. But this time, there is added interest for American farmers. China has rejected 5 loads of corn from the U.S. in recent weeks. The corn contained an insect-resistant trait from the seed company Syngenta. That's approved in the U.S., but not China. China was the top market for farm exports from the U.S. last year. But Vilsack says the country's slow approach to regulating biotech crops is a regular point of friction. He says China basically does not start its regulatory process on new events until a country like America or Brazil or Argentina has finished their work. Vilsack will ask Chinese regulators to start the process when the U.S. does, even if it takes longer to complete. Syngenta has reportedly resubmitted an application to have its trait approved in China. In a move that shook the beef industry last summer, 4 of the largest U.S. meat companies decided they would no longer buy cattle treated with a popular growth promoter. The companies cited welfare concerns about animals fed with a product called Zilmax. But feedlot owners liked the way it bulked up the cattle and wanted to use it again. Peggy Lowe reports that all this has focused attention on a feed additive that most people have never heard of, but is a big part of beef production.
The huge Ordway feed yard in eastern Colorado is old school and high tech. Cowboys ride on horseback to patrol the 2,000 acres of penned cattle out here on the plains. But in a tiny shed near the feedlot's office, the heart of the operation is digital.
So this is the computer system that runs all the ingredients and everything here. You can see the Zilmax tank is on there, number 4.
Feedlot manager Tyler Carney is disappointed that the number 4 tank is empty. He had to give up using Zilmax when companies quit buying cattle treated with the additive, and its maker, drug company Merck Animal Health, suspended sales. He began feeding Zilmax to the 6,500 head of Holsteins a couple years ago, and he liked the results. A gain of up to 30 pounds just before slaughter.
So we feed it the last 20 days of the feeding period, and when you drive by, you can actually see a physical change in the animal. You know, it's just their chest floors wider and just a boxier animal.
Zilmax, known generically as Zilpaterol, is derived from a family of drugs called beta agonists. They act much like a steroid, turning fat into muscle, creating big bodybuilder-like bovines. The drug was a game changer, producers say, offering the cattle industry a technology that it rarely sees and coming during a difficult time of drought and high feed prices. Before Zilmax was pulled, some 70% of American beef was produced with beta agonists. Now most producers are using Optiflex, another beta agonist made by a rival drug company. But as fast as the pounds piled on the animals on Zilmax, problems popped up. Problems publicized by a high-profile animal scientist.
Push the biology too hard. Then you start to have problems.
Temple Grandin, the Colorado State professor made famous in an HBO film, began noticing problems not at the feed yard, but at the packing plants. Cattle seemed to be heat-stressed, stiff and sore, what she described as looking like they were walking on hot metal. Grandin says she hadn't seen that kind of behavior in 40 years, not until the recent, persistent use of beta agonists.
A beta agonist, the way it works, is it enhances the growth of what's called a fast twitch fiber. And fast twitch fiber, like if you're a sprinter, gives you a lot of energy really fast, but then it fatigues out. And a beta agonist makes those fast twitch fibers bigger.
Merck insists that Zilmax, which is FDA approved, is safe, and it's now auditing how the product is used. But the use of beta agonists is banned in 160 countries in Asia and Europe, which fear that the drug can affect humans, such as triggering increased heart rates.
And it's really a stark, bright line between the way U.S. regulators look at these materials and what happens in the European Union and other developed countries.
That's Mark Castell of the Cornucopia Institute, an advocate for sustainable and organic farming. Although the U.S. allows the use of beta agonists, the Agriculture Department last month launched a new program called the Beta Agonist Free Certification, hoping to create sales in overseas markets. Castell says there's precedent for that in the U.S. food system. Lots of produce and meats are grown with drugs and antibiotics for American consumers, while the same products are kept free of those agents for overseas markets.
Same thing with many of the genetic engineered crops that have been developed. That if you're growing for an export market, you're going to grow these without GMOs. If you're growing for domestic markets, you can do whatever you want.
The beef industry is happy about the USDA's new beta agonist free certification. Colin Woodall of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association says they welcome the new marketing tool for foreign sales because so many countries have banned U.S. exports.
So we had great trade into Russia until they shut us off earlier this year, and it was about the use of beta agonists. And so this program is put in place to try to get over that hump and hopefully reestablish trade with what has been a pretty important market for us over the years.
So we had our Zilmax in a liquid form.
Driving around the Colorado feedlot, manager Tyler Carney points out the large blue tank where he kept Zilmax. He's now replaced it with Optiflex. This beta agonist is not as effective as Zilmax, putting about 10 less pounds on an animal in the last days before slaughter. Carney says he's waiting to buy Zilmax again, and he trusts drug trials done by PhDs.
The only thing that I feel is that we didn't make a science-based decision on this, that it was kind of on emotion.
Meanwhile, Merck is working on a new training plan that calls for qualifying feed yards to use Zilmax. But a company spokeswoman says it's too early to speculate on when the product will be put back on the market. Peggy Lowe, Harvest Public Media.
That's all for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.